Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to Must Talk About Nothing, a very special live episode. On today's show, Texas A&M upsets Miami, the tide continues to roll, and Oregon beats BYU. Is this it for the Roaring Mormons? All that and more. But first, let me introduce to you my esteemed co-host, Mr. Grant Skillen. How are you doing today, Grant?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
Doing all right, actually. I'm excited to be live. It feels good to be recording live. I've been trying to get you to do this for how many years now?
Too long.
Not
long enough to fin or no, it's I can't think of the wording I was trying to say.
It's live. There's no redoing it. So I guess first up, A&M beat Miami.
Yeah, which is the real fun one, because we just had a segment in the last one where I said Jimbo should be fired, and then here comes quarterback change to Max Johnson cutting down on mistakes, and they come out and beat Miami.
I
believe it was in Miami.
I think it was too. Do you think Jimbo's out of the hot seat now?
I don't know that I'd say he's out of the hot seat, because that's still a real bad loss to Appalachian State. It just makes you wonder. It's either did that kind of light a fire under him and the team, or was this kind of a fluke, like, win?
Yeah. I think, honestly, it was a fire lit, because Miami's too good of a team for it to just be luck. I mean, Miami's your pick to win the ACC, Mr. Skillen.
They are, and honestly, I might change that after some of the stuff I've seen, but...
Really? Who?
Mm-hmm. Texas.
To win the ACC?
No, ACC. Miami's not in the ACC, are they?
Yeah, they are. They're ACC South.
Hold on, let me pull up my...
They're ACC South.
Let me pull up my week one.
I believe your week one predictions were...
Oh, yeah, I had Texas confused with Clemson in my championships.
Yep, that would make sense.
I did have Miami beating Clemson... Honestly, might change that too for Clemson. If their defense keeps looking good, I think if Clemson's defense keeps doing good and DJ can keep doing good, I think they have a chance.
I 100% agree. I mean, I'm kind of surprised to say it. I think Clemson might be back. It feels weird, but I think it might be the case. I think
we still need to see more DJ to make sure it's not just been a couple good early games, and then he kind of falls off. I think that's something we could look for, but
yeah,
they've definitely looked better this year.
I agree. I think Pitt is still a threat, even after that loss to Tennessee, but I can see Clemson coming out of it, for sure.
I think Clemson has a better defense than Tennessee does, although I will say Tennessee's... I know it was Akron, but they looked good this past week.
Yeah, so you were... that game, right? You want to kind of tell the story?
I was. So you kind of know I have an analogy for this one. So I got to go visit Knoxville, visit the campus. Our friend Lawson showed me around. Then we got to go to the game, and what it reminded me of, honestly, and this came to my mind during the game, is a little event that happened a couple of weeks ago over in the UK with a little YouTuber called KSI. He made his return. I know it's a weird thing, but let me explain, and I think you'll be able to see it. So for people who don't know anything about YouTube boxing, KSI has done some boxing in the past. He beat a guy named Joe Weller, called out the Paul brothers, tied with Logan, and then beat Logan in their rematch. It's been about 3 years since then, and this was his first fight back. And they sold out about a 20,000-person arena over in the UK. And after his original opponent pulled out, he really... faced people who weren't really a threat. Not his fault, because the guy had to pull out with 2 weeks notice with a concussion. So it's not his fault, but it's a sold out arena, and I will say Knoxville was sold out with 101,000 people in that stadium against Akron. But KSI strolls into the O2 arena and puts on a show against these nobodies, which is what you're going to expect. And likewise, Tennessee showed up in their hometown in Knoxville and Neyland Stadium, and boy, did they put on a show. it was 35-0 at halftime. In the fourth quarter, they were still hitting 100 decibels on third down. And still causing Akron to just make mistakes. Honestly, after being there, it makes me scared for any team who has to come to Knoxville and play against Tennessee there.
And does Alabama come this year?
Yeah, they do. If they're that loud and rowdy up 42-0 in the third quarter, imagine what they're going to be like in the first, second, third, fourth quarter against Alabama.
There will be mustard bottles everywhere.
There will, yeah. Maybe even golf balls.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, Tennessee absolutely slaughtered Akron. 63-6, which is kind of what you're expecting. You're wanting Tennessee to come out and beat Akron.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would say that's a good change is like Alabama faced UL Monroe, and that was what, about the same score?
It was 63-7. I know because I was on the field for that game.
Yeah, it's like you expect Alabama to do that. It's a good sign for Tennessee that they had such a small school come in and they did that to them because that's what you're supposed to do to a team like that.
Yeah, and Tennessee hasn't been doing that lately. Speaking of teams that didn't do that, Kansas State played Tulane. And if you would tell me what the heck happened, I would greatly appreciate it. I couldn't watch, unfortunately. I was on the field at Alabama working. But somehow they managed to lose 17-10 to Tulane. I do not understand it. I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't, like, even looking at the score and, like, the game play-by-play, I can't point to what went wrong. It's just that nothing happened.
I know what went wrong.
Adrian Martinez?
No. The green wave of Tulane rolled into Kansas State.
Tulane. Yeah, no, I'm a little miffed about that. Still think my boys beat Oklahoma. I'm still hoping we beat Oklahoma.
I'll be honest. So we mentioned, I think it was in the week 2 episode, how we've been doing the ESPN pick'ems. One of the games is Oklahoma-Kansas State. Last I checked, I think it was 98-2
on that
pick.
Now, but that you say this.
In favor of Oklahoma.
Right. You say this like it's a sure thing. And I'll go ahead and be the first to say my pick'em rankings is not the best, like 18-12. However, week two, there was this little game called Washington State, Wisconsin. Is a 98-2. Guess who won? Washington State.
And do either of us think that Wisconsin's anywhere near as good as Oklahoma?
I don't think that Kansas State's anywhere near as bad as Washington State. My point again here being that it happens. Like the split does happen. It's rare.
For me, I'm still in the mode where I could believe it, but I need to see it happen first. I need to see, and I know y'all beat Oklahoma. I think you said it was 2 of the last 3 years. With Adrian Martinez, when you lose at home to Tulane, that's not good.
I think Adrian Martinez is about to go. I really do. I think if he has a rocky first half, I think we pull him and put in whoever the backup is this year. Because
Not good when you bring a guy in from the transfer portal and he's out potentially after only 3.5, maybe 4 games.
Okay, but what do you mean that's not good? Like, that's not good for recruiting or that's not good for, like,
just in terms? That's not good for y'all.
No, it's bad for morale. However, we won't be in this situation again. We've got the number 42 ranked quarterback, or number 42 recruit, I think he's like the 17th quarterback next year coming in. He's a 4-star out of Arizona. I feel really good about that.
I will
that.
Say Tennessee, I think Tennessee has the number 2 quarterback coming in, and that kid looks like a character.
I'm interested to see if Tennessee can continue to have a football team.
It'll be interesting. So one thing from the game is Hendon Hooker was throwing a lot of deep balls.
That's something I like seeing.
Mm-hmm. You miss deep balls some when you throw them. That just happens. But a couple really good ones. They had a couple guys get hurt, but it sounds like Jabari Small, their running back, and then their number one receiver, I'm blanking on his name. sounds like Jabari Small is good and he could have come back in the game, but when you're up 28-0 in the second quarter, you really don't want to put that guy back in case he gets hurt more severely.
Right.
And it was sort of the same case with the receiver.
As long as he comes back, though, we're good.
So, upcoming this weekend, we've got Florida rolling in the Knoxville. After how they looked, I would be shocked if Florida wins this game.
Yeah, I am.
With how good Tennessee looked, their defense was flying around the field. Offense was doing whatever they wanted. I mean, it's Akron, but they were going deep. They were running. They were throwing short, throwing mid. They were doing everything they wanted to. I'm really nervous for Florida in that game.
I'm right there with you. I think Florida gets the absolute. I don't think there's any other way you could look at it, because there is just simply there's nothing going for.
When I look at the last 2 weeks of Florida and I look at the last 2 weeks of Tennessee, how they started a bit slow against Pitt, but then they actually did something similar. Lawson and I were laughing about it. They hurt Kenny Pickett. They hurt Keaton Slovis, and then the backup came in and they hurt him too. And he was hobbled the rest of the game, kind of like Hudson Card. But they were able to shut down the Pitt offense. And then Akron, of course, he shut him down. But another good sign that they did.
I think
the defense is going to keep getting better as the season goes on, and that's good for them.
Now, if Florida is the same Florida team that came out week one and beat Utah, it's going to be close.
If they are, but that's not what they've been. They what's funny, me and Lawson and his roommate were just chilling in his apartment when we got back from the game, because we left around the start of the fourth quarter. And we were like, if you're Tennessee fans, do you want Florida to win this game? Because they about did everything they could to lose that game.
They absolutely did.
But we were like, you do want them to win that game because then it looks better. But regardless, I could not. There's no way I could pick Florida to win this game.
No, and ESPN seems to agree with you. It's an 80-20. I do think if Tennessee wins, that really sets them up to be that could be their signature win that propels them into the top 10 for the next weeks until they play, Alabama.
It's actually interesting. If you look, if I'm not mistaken, 5 of the top 11 teams right now are SEC. We've got Georgia at 1, Alabama at 2, you've got Kentucky at 8, Arkansas at 10, Tennessee at 11.
That's a bit of a weird stack. You wonder how much of that's SEC bias, but you also have to think about it. Like, those teams are going to kill each other. You're going to end up with Big 12 situation where everyone loses.
So far, all of them are undefeated. You're going to end up with, I assume, 2 that are either undefeated or 1 loss. You may even end up with multiple, like we've been predicting, and I'm starting to maybe waver on this, but we've been predicting Georgia might lose to Tennessee.
Now, the difficulty there is going to be, can Tennessee travel? Because if Tennessee can travel, if they can bring their fans in.
Is that game in Athens?
It's in Athens. They're going to be barked at. They're going to be yelled at. The one thing that isn't going to happen is they won't have golf balls thrown at them. But it's going to be rough.
Like, well, that wouldn't happen anyways. It'd be Georgia that have them thrown.
I know. Just say it's going to be rough. I mean, well, we'll get a preview kind of for that game coming up, because I mean, I say that. I guess I'm just being stupid here, because I don't think we will. I mean, unless Georgia plays Missouri soon. So we'll get a preview. I'm just dumb. This is the part where if this wasn't live, we would cut. But since it is live, we're not going to. I just get to look dumb for once. I think if Tennessee can handle Alabama, which is an if. If Tennessee can handle Alabama, then I think that the Georgia game is close enough to where Tennessee has a playoff shot if they can win everything but that. As much as I hate it.
That's like the Alabama scenario a couple years ago where we lost to Auburn and still made it in when Georgia beat them. I think that's very possible, although I don't know because
that one. I had to bring it up, didn't you?
Well, I did. Hold on a second.
This is the part of the stream where I tell you if you're enjoying the content, please give us a follow. We would greatly appreciate it. And if you're watching this post post-mortis, if you will, after the stream is no longer live and is dead.
Post-mortem.
And give us a subscribe or subscribe anywhere. Greatly appreciate it. Leave a review. Like, follow us everywhere. It's at Much Talk About Nothing on Instagram, MTA and Podcast on Twitter. I'm at the Grant Ingram pretty much everywhere. And Skillen, I believe you're Grant underscore Skillen on Instagram.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Give us a follow. Tell us you love us. Tell us Skillen needs to shave. You know, that kind of deal.
I'm catching strays out here. All right, we will cut back to the video. So, I mean, we've got Georgia, Alabama at one. That might be cannibalized depending on the SEC championship. You've got Ohio State, Michigan. Only one of those teams is going to make it in with maybe one loss.
So
you've got Clemson. I think there's potentially a door. If Tennessee does just lose, it depends what game it is. Like if they lose to us and beat Georgia, or I think if it goes either way.
They need to come out of one loss team having beat either Alabama or Georgia. It looks better if they beat Alabama. And in that hypothetical situation, I don't like the SEC West because that would mean Alabama had a loss, right? An SEC loss. Who else is going to have more than one SEC?
Arkansas, because we faced them.
But I don't think Arkansas loses two games.
If they only lose one and we beat them, then we have the advantage.
That's, I mean, true. But still, like, looking at Alabama's schedule, if Tennessee can pull it off, I mean,
it's Arkansas, A&M, Tennessee, right?
It's Arkansas, A&M, Tennessee, State, LSU, Ole Miss, Austin. Yeah,
honestly, the only games I see in there that I'm worried about would be that three-game stretch and then Auburn, because Auburn always finds its secret sauce in that one game and has a chance to beat us.
Yeah, you say that. That's an Auburn team that just got absolutely slaughtered. And I mean slaughtered.
Auburn almost beat us last year, and you could argue that was a worse team.
Than the current one? I mean, they still had Bo Nix.
Bo was out for that game, I think.
Maybe. I think
Bo got hurt before.
It might have started Finley. I can't remember. But you can't argue.
So I think that three-game stretch with Arkansas, A&M, and Tennessee is the hardest. I'm still going to say I'm not too worried about A&M. Arkansas will be an interesting one. I think how we do against Arkansas will be a good tell for what it could look like against Tennessee, although I'd say they're a bit different because Arkansas is a better defensive team and more of a rushing offense than a passing, similar to Florida in that way. Florida's fallen off, but when you look at what Florida was in the first week against Utah, that's more what I'm referring to. In that way. And then Tennessee is a little worse defense, a little more high-powered offense. It'll be interesting. If we can come out of that unscathed, I think we're good, and then Auburn would be the one I'm potentially worried about just because it's Auburn and Iron Bowl's crazy.
Yeah, the Iron Bowl is crazy, but also Auburn is. You're talking about, you could argue last year's Auburn team was worse. They did go 6-6, but they only lost by 8 to Penn State. This is a team that lost by 28 to Penn State. It's not going to be close. I would be surprised if Auburn makes a bowl. I'd be so surprised, in fact, that I'm pretty sure I'd set my hair on fire and run around in my backyard screaming, "Somebody give me some water."
We've got someone here. Someone clip that.
Somebody please clip that. I'm going to clip that.
Please clip that.
I just clipped that. It's been clipped. Anyway.
Yeah, let's see. Michigan got to play UConn. JJ McCarthy looked really good in his, I believe, first official start as the official starter. It was his second start. Clemson had whoever LT is, and maybe Louisiana Tech looked good there.
Michigan State lost to Washington, like, fairly badly.
Yeah, we actually kind of called that, though, because in their, when they zipped the zips, that was when their quarterback was like kind of not efficient, and then no touchdowns and two picks, and we went, that could be something to look out for.
Yep, we did. I think Must Talk About Nothing should give you all your betting advice. Saying one person out there watching.
Let's pull that up. Peyton Thorne. I mean, he wasn't actually bad. It was 30 for 42, three touchdowns, one pick. They looked like they ran about as well as I would if I was out on the field. between Jalen Berger and Peyton Thorne, they averaged about 1.5 yards to carry. Ouch. And the running back was at 2. It was like 2.1 for Berger, 13 carries for 27 yards.
That'll get you beat every day of the week.
Thorne's may have been a little better because Yahoo takes away yards on a sack, I believe. So he may have been closer. It may have been a little better than that, but
not better enough.
Yeah.
The big game of the week before we kind of move into our predictions for this next week and everything, big game is BYU Oregon. Now, I will be the first to admit I got this way wrong. Every time I had a chance to put like anything on it, I got this way wrong. BYU comes out.
That's unfortunate for me. You can keep going. I'll explain my situation later.
The Roaring Mormons go out and scream in the middle of Oregon. And if anyone has been keeping up with Bo Nix's journey to being the most overhyped quarterback ever, they will have seen that Oregon is awful. Or at least was awful compared to Georgia, which makes Georgia look really good now. But the Roaring Mormons got the tails whooped by 3 touchdowns by a bunch of ducks from Oregon. I don't think the Roaring Mormons have a chance. I think
I don't know. It's strange because that also points to how good is Baylor, because Baylor got beat by BYU. I think they kind of suffered from that loss against Georgia. I think that was just a slow start for them. New head coach, new quarterback, new systems, get used to it. And Georgia's an awful team to have to face for that.
You're telling me that you don't think that 7-touchdown loss was necessarily a reflection of how bad Oregon is?
I mean, that was a horrible loss. Bo Picks out there threw a few of them. But he came back this week. I mean, he didn't have to do much. He was 13 of 18 for 222 and 2 touchdowns. Backup came in and threw an interception. I don't know if Bo got hurt or what. I wasn't able to watch that game. But when Bo was in, he was good. The backup didn't do any favors when he was in. But it looks like running the ball, they were efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they stopped BYU's rushing game.
Definitely.
And yeah. That defense at Oregon's still good. Bo Nix has been, I mean, since that Georgia game, that game he was 21 of 37 for 173, so not efficient, not many yards, no touchdowns, 2 picks. Came back against Eastern Washington, which granted it's Eastern Washington, but he looked like Jalen Hurts out there, 28 of 33 for 277 and 5 touchdowns. Then came back against BYU. It had a similar game. If you scale the attempts, a little worse completion percentage, but still 2 touchdowns and no picks. If Bo doesn't no picks, then I think he's going to do well for them. If he does, then we saw what happened the first week.
I agree. Now on the BYU side of things, I don't see a path to play.
No,
I've been seeing it before. I was just about ready to go marry 6 people and put on a BYU t-shirt and say, here we go.
Don't tell Kaylee.
Kaylee, if you're watching this, first off, say hi. Second off, but there's just not the strength of schedule.
Baylor was going to be the good win, then Oregon was going to be the good win.
Well, but then they were also going to play, at the time, a number five Notre Dame that it seems to have just died.
Notre Dame won a game.
So. They beat Cal. I didn't know Cal still had a football team. I know they were talking about getting rid of it a couple of years ago.
I don't think they've been good since Aaron Rodgers left, if we're being honest.
They haven't. But then they also
were going to play Arkansas. Was Jared Goff at Cal, actually?
I don't even.
Jared Goff may have been at Cal.
I don't know. I just know that the other option was literally Arkansas. And if you win all of those games, you have a case. But you can't lose by three touchdowns to Oregon and then play nobody. Well, because, again, they kind of got screwed. Notre Dame being awful kind of screwed them. It also, I mean, screwed Notre Dame, which, I mean, let's hand it to them.
And I will say, to give myself credit, in our preseason picks, I did predict Oregon would go one loss, and that one loss would be to Georgia. And I think they have a chance to win the Pac-12 with that. Of course, they'll probably have to go through USC for that. Yeah, but
they're not beating Oklahoma. It's just not happening.
I mean, if we look at the rest of their season, who do they have that really would be a threat? I mean, Oregon? They got through BYU. I'm talking about Oregon.
Yeah. So looking at Oregon this week, they played Washington State. They played Washington State this week.
Oh, no. They got Washington State, Stanford, Arizona, bye week, UCLA, Cal, Colorado, Washington's number 18, Utah's 13, and then Oregon State. I feel like Utah is probably the biggest threat they have, but it depends what Utah shows up.
Yeah.
But I think if Oregon wins out, I think they, with the teams they would have to beat, I think they'd have a decent shot at the very least of beating USC. And I honestly think the winner of the Pac-12 this year makes it in if they're one loss, or if USC is undefeated potentially, I think the winner of the Pac-12 makes it in.
I think USC has a chance of making it in. Washington might have a chance. Utah still has a chance. I do not think Oregon has a chance.
That loss against Florida is only looking worse and worse for Utah. Although Utah's been looking better, but...
But you also have to think about it. Utah is currently sitting at 13th. Utah lost a tight game against Florida, I believe, on the road. Right?
Mm-hmm. It was in the swamp.
So that's a more forgivable loss than getting blown out by Georgia at the start of the season.
I mean,
don't get me wrong, Georgia's great.
They were in Atlanta for that game, and it was Georgia, and it was the coach's first game. I think I can kind of see where you're going for, but if Oregon comes out as the one-loss team from the Pac-12 that wins the championship, regardless of that loss to Georgia, I think if they can come out with only the one loss, they will have had to improve enough where you can look past that and go, okay, that team in week one is not the team that would be there then.
And that's possible. And it's highly possible. I'm the playoff committee, and I said, I think the Pac-12 team is going to be number four. You know who number one is? Georgia. I really don't want to set up an Oregon-Georgia rematch.
Well, you see, this is the same hypothetical situation you said last week. Neither of us think Georgia's going to make it to begin with. Georgia does make it as one seed, then maybe that changes it. Or maybe you bring it back because it's a rematch. And if you remember what you were talking about, you like teams that lost the first time to come back and win the second.
Okay, keep in mind, most of the times when a team loses the first time and makes the championship game, they didn't lose by 46 points the first time. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Tennessee can play the Zips 100 times and win 100 of them. I don't think the Zips are going to suddenly figure something out. Just like I don't think Oregon is going to figure anything out against Georgia.
I wouldn't put Oregon... I don't know if I would consider that a good argument. I think it depends how Oregon looks. Honestly, when I go back to my original ranking, I have them at 3. As a one-loss team, because I don't think too many teams are going to go undefeated, and I think Oregon might have a good strength of schedule outside of losing that Georgia game.
Maybe.
I think they've got a shot. If they can win out from here, I think they have a shot, and I want to get to that with Texas, where I still feel very strongly about Texas and how I think they can be really good. If they can come out if they manage, we talked about this last week, but I still think if they can manage to come out undefeated with Hudson, and that would require most likely a beat at Oklahoma, a win at Oklahoma.
It would require a win at Oklahoma, a win at Oklahoma State, and a win against Baylor. Those are your three toughest Quinn teams, was, except Quinn for maybe K-State. K-State might come Quinn, up with something at home.
Well, Quinn's 4 to 6 weeks. If I'm being honest with what I saw at the beginning of that Alabama game, I think if Texas has Quinn, they win against maybe any team in the country.
Hands down, they beat Alabama.
Well, I think they beat any team in the country right now, except maybe Georgia if they have Quinn. If they can manage to beat Oklahoma at 6 in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And then get Quinn back for Iowa State or get him back for Oklahoma. Bro, if he's backed by Oklahoma State and they can beat Oklahoma, I think they have a chance to run the table pretty easily. And I think they make the playoffs. But they need to come out with – they can't lose another game without Quinn. But once he comes back, I don't know that they will lose.
But here again, that loss to Alabama looks a heck of a lot different than Oregon's loss to Georgia. They lost a tight game with a hurt quarterback. Oregon lost.
Two hurt quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Oregon just lost. Lost everything.
And I think there might be room for both Oregon and Texas if they both end up one loss in conference championships, because I think the most likely scenario is you're going to get one SEC team, you're going to get one, is it Big Ten?
I think you get one SEC team, two Big Ten teams, and either a Big 12 or a 12. I take that back.
The Big Ten's going to be cannibalistic like the SEC is going to be this year.
But are you really going to keep out Ohio State or Michigan this year if it comes to a situation where Ohio State and Michigan have either one of them has one loss and it's to the other one, and they both look as good as they have? I'd have a hard time keeping both of them out. So
you see, I mean, Michigan State, I'm honestly just going to push out of the equation.
They can go jump off a cliff.
So really, you've got Ohio State and you've got Michigan. the wonders of live recording. Let me pull up the Ohio State schedule.
Right.
Because Ohio State's the team that I have as the one that makes it out.
Let's look.
So in their schedule, they've got Wisconsin, Rutgers, Michigan State, not worried. Iowa, Penn State, not terribly. Penn State, maybe. Really, the only team I see on Ohio State's schedule that could be a potential problem would be Michigan. And that's the last week. So that's going to be an important one. If I pull up Michigan, they obviously, as just mentioned, they're going to end up facing Ohio State.
See, here again, that's where I'm saying if they're both one-loss teams, or if one of them is unbeaten and the other one lost to, like, say Ohio State loses to Michigan. If Michigan goes unbeaten, Ohio State has a loss to Michigan that was anywhere near close. Oregon doesn't make it. There are too few slots at this point. There is no way, if I'm in the committee, I'm putting an Oregon that got beat by 46 points week one to Georgia, especially if Georgia doesn't come out of the SEC looking good.
So let's throw this hypothetical scenario out there. Let's say we're wrong. Georgia goes undefeated. Georgia wins the SEC. Georgia's won.
Which is looking correct.
Alabama loses. What if there's a one-loss Alabama floating out there in the ether? I'm gonna say in that one loss is Georgia in the SEC championship.
Then Alabama doesn't make it because the win against Texas looked way too close, and Georgia has been way too dominant.
What if it's Alabama, Georgia in the SEC championship, and Georgia wins by one touchdown, whatever the score may be? If it's a lower, high scoring game, what if it's a very close game that Georgia scrapes out of?
So
undefeated Georgia won. I still think it's going to be Ohio State. So I would say undefeated Georgia won, undefeated Ohio State 2. Then let's say you've got a one-loss Alabama, a one-loss Michigan, a one-loss conference championship winning Texas and a one-loss conference championship Oregon.
And potentially an undefeated Clemson.
And an undefeated Clemson, which I think that's a legitimate scenario that could happen.
Yeah.
Where you have seven teams
vying for two spots.
Yeah, because if Georgia and Ohio State are undefeated, they're 1-2. I think you put conference champions in. If Clemson's undefeated, I think they go in.
Then I think it's
between Texas and Oregon, assuming they're one loss conference champions.
Who looks better? The guy that lost to one with two hurt quarterbacks to Alabama, or the one that lost by 46 to Georgia with everyone healthy?
I mean, I would say Texas in that scenario, right? Because that's how highly I think of them. But then you've got, like, that would be a rough scenario if you have seven teams that could be potentially
accelerate the 12-team playoff.
Normally you have like five teams that you can be like, there's a pretty legitimate argument for, then maybe six. But if there's seven,
just
think about that.
Then everyone agrees we need a 12-team playoff and meet. Like, because it's kind of ridiculous.
My concern with the 12-team playoff. My concern with that is you're adding more games and more potential for these kids to get hurt and potentially mess up their future.
Okay, but the FCS has been doing it for years. The FCS, I believe the FCS starts with 64. I mean, heck, I'd be okay if you cut one game off the season and then just threw it in the playoffs. That's fine. The problem, like, especially those first 3 weeks when everybody's playing no one.
Maybe you take 1 week away. So, like, looking at Michigan's schedule, maybe you take away Connecticut, put a bye week there.
That's what I'm saying.
Give teams two bye weeks instead of one during the season, then they have the playoff.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Exactly. Cut a week off the season and then do the playoff, because nobody is learning anything from how bad Alabama you beat UL Monroe or how bad Tennessee beat the Yips or the Zips. I mean,
yeah, but you can also make the argument sometimes teams need those games, because like, we did not look good against Texas. We had UL Monroe. We have, I think it's a Vandy coming up this weekend. No, those aren't hard games, but those are some games where Bryce can get in rhythm. It'd be great. I don't think JoJo Earl's going to be back this week. We've got another guy. I'll be honest, I did not know he existed. His name is Aaron Anderson.
Yeah.
Was a four-star receiver, almost a five-star. He was number 35 in the country, number 4 receiver.
Wow.
His comparison is Jalen Waddle.
Interesting.
Small, quick, explosive.
Interesting.
That could be interesting. And then we've got Tyler Harrell. So it sounds like people say Anderson might be one of the fastest receivers as soon as he steps in. He ran like a 10.700 meter.
Wow.
So he's fast. Harrell might be the fastest guy in college football. He ran a 4.24 40 at a pro day at Louisville. That would have tied the combine record before John Ross broke it.
Would you like a fun fact about me and someone I know? Best friend at Alabama.
Go ahead.
My best friend at Alabama, a man named Ian Mufar, went and tried out Alabama as both a quarterback and a running back. My man ran a 4.26 40, a 4.22 hand timed. And he is just sitting out there. I think he's going to go play JUCO football. That's a little ridiculous, especially when we're talking about things that could break combine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my point in bringing that up is the one knock on our offense has been we don't have the speed. We do have the speed, but it's a true freshman. I think JoJo's just a sophomore now, and then Harrell coming in. They've got to be healthy, and we've just got to see him. It'd be great if Anderson, it sounds like he had some type of foot injury. He had a knee injury and missed fall camp and wasn't able to travel to Texas, but he's been practicing ahead of the UL Monroe game, and Saban called him day to day a couple of days ago.
Interesting.
So, I mean, it'd be great if he could be there this week for Vandy. get a game of reps in, get some experience with Bryce. But point of me bringing that up is that's one argument for having these soft games is to let these guys, like guys like that, be able to come back and get some reps.
Okay, but
before we're getting thrown in against Arkansas.
Okay, so I'm going to throw this out as a fan. I think it is better if teams like Alabama would start off struggling, can't buy a couple of wins to find their rhythm. I think if you start off struggling, you should be allowed to lose games.
I mean, you should, but there's also, to be honest, most teams on Alabama's schedule are like not like terrible teams, but they are just teams where we can find our rhythm because talent-wise, we're just so much better that it almost doesn't matter.
Almost like the money is worth. But see, here again, though, that's just an extra argument for getting rid of the FCS teams and the UL Monroes. Like, there's no reason. Like if the argument is literally
and the Kansas State's not kidding.
I mean, Kansas State's a power team.
I know. I was joking.
I get you, but my point being that if you're gonna sit there with saying, hey, we need to get rid of opportunities for these kids to get hurt, and that's why we shouldn't expand. So we shouldn't give them an opportunity to compete for something because we don't want them to get hurt. Then the obvious solution is let's kill the UL Monroe games.
Yeah, but there's also been so many kids pulling out, especially when they're getting close to being drafted, just so many kids pulling out of bowl games.
Yeah, but we haven't seen anybody pulling out of the playoff.
We haven't, but if it's a 12-team playoff and they have the potential of playing three more games, what's to say we won't start seeing that?
Okay, so the difference between playing three more games and subtracting a game from the regular season and playing two more games with the same number is the same.
Well, are they subtracting? I think
that's my pitch if you're worried about it.
Yeah, I know.
But like what I'm saying is I don't think that's enough of an injury because as a fan, I'd rather see, you know, a BYU who doesn't have their star player or whatever, but BYU star player is going to opt out for the draft, right? But I'd rather see that because if you look at like if we had had a 12-team playoff the whole time, you know who would have made it? It'd have been teams like Kansas State. It'd have been teams like Texas. It'd have been teams like UCF. There are teams there that deserve a chance. And like we're talking about now, there's a chance that we have seven teams vying for two spots that all lost one game to a guy in the top two. Like, that's just ridiculous. There's no way you can look at that and tell me, well, you know, we can accurately pick 3 and 4.
Then let's go 8 games, maybe.
Well, eight
I think 12 just might be much. I mean, I think the 12, it was the top 5 seeds go to Power 5 champions, then it's a wild card from there. And I think was it top 4
pitch.
Get the first week off?
I think so.
I think that's what they've said is
yeah.
Top 5 or Power 5 champs, and then top 4 get the first week off.
Oh, but
then it's
eight,
5, 12.
8 doesn't actually do anything to mitigate risk of injury. 8 means everybody plays 3 games.
Yeah, but I think if you're looking at the most competitive, I think if you put 12, I think that may be too high of a number because you start sneaking into the next tier of teams. I think 8 is probably a better number.
It's not a 3. It's not a 3 game. It's a 4 game edition.
Yeah, 4 games. If it's one of the other teams that make it all the way, then it's 4 games.
Right, but still, like even still looking at that, like 8 doesn't mitigate much. And it just means that the teams that are most likely to have those NFL guys, the top 4, are going to be playing that extra game. Like there's no reason. I don't really see a reason for that, to be honest. I as a fan, I want 12 teams. I think as players, they want 12 teams. I know I play college sports. I don't play football. I should go pick up football. But I know if I was a player, I'd rather be playing more. I'd rather have a shot at a title if my team can pull off something miraculous than go home knowing I wasn't injured.
So what I'll say is right now, if you shut off today, you go into the playoffs. I know, so like 4 to 12, it'd be Michigan versus North Carolina State.
But wait a second, though. That's not actually how that works. It'd be 5 to 12. 5 place 12.
Oh, yeah, 5 to 12. Clemson, North Carolina State.
Okay, great. I don't see a problem with that. But you know what's going to...
Clemson would destroy...
Well, you know what's going to happen? Clemson's going to play NC State. Like, that's just going to happen. Sure. Yeah, because they're in the same conference. They play NC State actually 2 weeks from now. On the first. But yeah, I think that the playoffs should... I mean, I think you have to expand them. I don't think you have a choice in to be fair to these kids. Right?
Life's not fair, but I get what you're saying.
Well, life isn't fair, but we can make the game more fair for these kids. Because you never know when somebody is going to come out with their NFL draft moment in the playoffs, and that we're just robbing from them so they don't get hurt and potentially damage their careers.
I think one game looks good, but I think by that point, I don't know that one game would make someone go from like a fifth round pick to a first round pick. Joe Burrow over a season, his last year at LSU, went from a like seventh round pick to the number one overall pick. But that was a full season of dominance. I don't know that one or two extra games for a kid would be big enough to give them that moment where they make a huge...
You're telling me if the BYU quarterback comes out and throws absolute gems for four games to win the national title, it's not going to impact
Four in a row is different than if they come in, just have play one game, do well, but lose.
Right, but the thing is, this opens up the option for these teams to have a chance. I think 12 makes the most sense. I
want to wait and see how it looks. I'm a little skeptical. I think it may be a little too much, and you may get some very... I think that's way too many.
It's the same number of games.
Yeah, but then I think there you start having some lower quality games early on.
That's possible.
I think that they should make it as competitive as they can the whole way. I think 8 might be a bit... That's why I was thinking 8, because I think 8's a good competitive number, especially if we're thinking there could be a 7 this year. I can see where you're coming from, though.
I'm just going to throw this out as just a potential, a thought.
I'll be honest. I haven't put too much thought into expansion of the playoff because I personally don't have a huge problem with 4. I can understand why some people do, but...
You don't have a huge problem with 4 because Alabama has missed how many playoffs at this point?
1?
Yeah.
But that's not why, because I think most of the time we end up with a good competitive game. Even at 4, though, you end up with games like us versus Notre Dame.
Right, but as a fan, I'm not looking for necessarily a good competitive game. I'm looking for more teams having the chance of winning. Because as it is, we're sitting here writing off, but just in this conversation, me and you are sitting here writing off 5 teams because we only have 2 spots left because we're assuming Georgia and Ohio State went out. So now there are 2 spots, and there are a potential of 7 teams vying for those 2. So that just means that we're sitting here like, well, the season could be over tomorrow. Like, literally by Saturday, we could have narrowed it all down. We could know who the top 4 were going to be going, and that'd be it. I think you have to expand it, or it's just not fair to people, and the game gets boring as a whole. Because let's be honest, if we're looking at this in terms of just... Let's say we are arguing for good close games. Number 1 Alabama went to Texas, who was unranked at the time, and won by 1 point in a nail biter. Right?
Yeah, but I had also made the argument, I think Texas is going to win their conference. I think it was more of a... People didn't realize how good Texas is going to be. When you have a full year, once you get to the end of the year, you'll have seen a full slate of games and know what every team is capable of against specific teams. And then from there, it's easier to make a decision. Like right now, we're saying there could be 7 teams vying for those 4 spots. It's possible we get there and there's only 4 teams who have a legitimate claim to those 4 spots.
It's also possible we get there and there are literally 10 teams that are claiming for the 4 spots.
It's possible, but I don't know, because right now the top teams, there's going to be a lot of SEC killing off of each other. Same with Ohio State, Michigan. and then like Oregon, USC, I think you end up with a lot of conferences are going to fight amongst themselves. And I think, and we're talking hypothetical error, I think realistically you end up with a pretty clear cut for maybe five teams.
Right. Exactly.
I think is what will end up happening.
That's possible. We'll see.
Which is usually, I think what in, which if I'm remembering correctly, is usually what ends up happening. Cause you usually end up with six being a two loss team.
Now, usually the way it shakes down, like, especially if we look at last year, it ends up being somebody gets rocked. Last year it was Ohio State. Yeah, they had two losses, but you couldn't sit here and make the argument that they didn't deserve it. Because they had, I mean, they had two losses, but they were one of the top four teams by the end of the year. And that's the thing. They would have made it. We'd get to see what the end of season Ohio State does. Like, that's just what I'm saying. Anyway, I think we need to move on because we've been doing this for nearly an hour and we've got nowhere. But that's a good little mini-sode. So let's look at the top 25 for this week.
We've got Georgia 1, absolutely fair.
Right.
Alabama 2. Like, you can make the argument like we did last week. Maybe you could drop them lower. But when you have them at 2 and they beat UL Monroe pretty easily, you don't move them.
Right.
I mean, the top 5 is the same as it was. I mean, really, the top, like...
The top a lot.
Pretty much the top 10. I think, if I'm not mistaken, why is Yahoo not showing me
trends? I don't see the trend. Or wait, no. So Kentucky moved up and Oklahoma State moved down one spot each.
Yeah, they swapped them. That, I mean, that's not a huge deal, but Kentucky did look good.
Tennessee's up four really spots.
Who was?
Tennessee. Let's just read it off. So the top 10, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Oklahoma, USC, Kentucky, Oklahoma State, and Arkansas. Those are all pretty much the same, except like we said, Kentucky went up, Oklahoma State went down.
Yeah, so I mean, still essentially no change there. Then 11, I know Tennessee was 15. They looked very good against Akron. Like I said, I got to watch that in person. I can't remember if they were ahead of Utah or not going into this week, but...
They were by one... Or no, they were behind Utah by one spot.
I think it's fair to jump them, especially after they came out and... when I say dominated, I mean they dominated that game.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's fair. I think Then it's NC State.
And NC State moved up four spots for that, too. They moved up from 16 after beating...
Yeah. Let's mention some of the games. Like Clemson at 5, they've got Wake Forest coming up. That'll be an interesting one. I think they'll win that, but
right,
Wake Forest will give them their biggest challenge so far. Oklahoma State's got Baylor. We can see if Baylor is really a fluke or not. If they can come out and beat Oklahoma State, that'll be interesting.
It will be.
Arkansas's got A&M this week. That's another interesting one. We can see if A&M was a fluke or not.
Right.
Which we'll see if they can continue to cut down on their mistakes, let their defense, which is very good, just do their job, not make mistakes, drive down the field slowly. They can do good.
Right.
11, Tennessee has got Florida. We may look at this bad in a couple of days, but if I'm Tennessee, I'm not terribly worried about this game. Just show up, execute, and I think they've got that win down.
I hope you heard that. That was me knocking on wood for Tennessee there.
Then 12, like I said, I got NC State. 13, you've got Utah. They're facing the newly coachless Arizona State, I believe that is.
What happened to Arizona State's
coach? Herm Edwards got the can.
Why did he get the can?
Because they have not been good.
Yeah, but like they're also
last year or this.
Arizona State.
Yeah. I think there are rumors that Arizona State might go after Urban Meyer.
No.
14, we've got Penn State after they faced someone from the state of Alabama last week.
Yeah, they played Auburn, jumped up 8 spots after beating the dog crap out of Auburn.
As you should. 15, you got Oregon after their nice win at BYU.
Jumped 10
I think
spots
that's fair
that.
since they... Yeah, I think it's fair to have them there because they have the one loss, but if they keep looking this good, then they're going to be a problem.
Well, the thing is, they're going to look this good against pretty much nobody. Like, honestly,
BYU is a nobody.
No, but what I'm saying is, if they continue looking this good, they don't play anyone. Like, their next, like, literally as far as Bing will show me, Washington State, Stanford, Arizona, UCLA, California, and Colorado. Like, they play nobody. And then they play two good teams. They play Washington, Utah, and then they play Oregon State. I mean, they're going to have to keep looking very good for a very long time.
They are. That's kind of the filler games. I mean, it's their own conference, so not necessarily filler, but...
It is
not
just
as the, good teams that they can start building consistency.
Yep.
16, we got Ole Miss. It'll be interesting to see how they turn out this year. If they can keep looking good. Not sure if they've got their quarterback situation figured out or not between Jackson and Luke.
I don't know. At 17, we have Baylor, who's kind of sitting the same. At 18, we have Washington, who is entering, I believe, after they beat... who did they beat? They beat Michigan State. Michigan State went and jumped off that cliff. And then at 19, BYU fell 7 spots. Florida fell 2 spots on a win against... South Florida, a 3-point win against South Florida. They fell 2 spots. I think that's well deserved. And then Grant, you can take the last 5.
Yeah. We're at Florida Stars looking up Ole Miss. They're one of their quarterbacks, I believe, or no, that was before. I don't know if we even know who the Ole Miss quarterback is. That's what they've got to figure out.
Yeah.
Who were you at?
I was at number 20.
Okay, 20, we've got Florida.
Oh, wait, you finished Florida. I just said that, yeah. My bad, 21.
Okay. Power of editing. 21, we've got Wake Forest. They almost lost to Liberty, it looks like.
They're going to
have a
time this week.
Their offense has looked good. Yeah, they've got Clemson. That'll be a test for them. I don't know that it'll be too hard of a test for Clemson, if I'm being honest. But we'll see.
We'll see if Clemson's
22. We've got Texas. If you ask me, I still think that's too low, but I think it's fair. I think it's a fair ranking without Quinn. I think with Quinn, it's a low ranking. They've got, I think it's like Texas Tech. I think.
Well, coming up this keep week. In mind they just fell after giving UTSA as many points as they gave Alabama.
Yeah, but I think. Yeah, but their defense, I think, still looks pretty good. I think it's a fair ranking without Clinton. Sure. 23 got A&M after that absolute blowout win in Miami. Their offense did not look super impressive, but when you slow that Miami offense down to 9 points, you quite frankly don't have to do much.
Now,
offense is still the question.
I do want to point out here, A&M only bumped up 1 spot. They knocked Miami down 12.
I think that may have been more of Miami may not be as good as I thought they were.
I mean, the
rankings thought they were.
You might be right, but you're telling me Wake Forest, after almost losing to Liberty, should be ranked above A&M, who just beat the 13 team? Yeah. We'll see. Anyway.
Yeah. Then we got Pitt at 24. They're kind of just chilling. They have the loss to Tennessee. I don't know what they have coming up, but they could be interesting. Miami. Talked about them.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh is going to play Rhode Island, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Louisville, North Carolina, and Syracuse.
So when are they playing against the team?
They'll play Miami to end the year.
Okay, that'll be an interesting one, but there's a lot of time.
So Pitt plays nobody. The only way Pitt makes it out alive. Pitt
plays your local high school team for the rest of the year.
Pitt's out here playing Bishop Sycamore.
Except Bishop Sycamore might be better because they're actually older, but...
Yeah, no, the only way they're going to make it anywhere is if they manage to somehow beat Clemson in the title game.
Yep. We've got to mention... So right outside of the top 25, we've got Michigan State, Florida State, then good old Appalachian State. We've got to mention that. I don't know how we didn't mention that before. But last second Hail Mary against Troy. Yep. Fair play to him. Not Appalachian State is all over the place. Texas, then you about lose to Troy.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I never will. But I wasn't expecting them to be any good, so I can't say I'm like terribly disappointed.
But they're just out of the top 25, couple behind Michigan State, Florida State. Then you got North Carolina, Washington State, Cincinnati. Oh, look, there's Kansas with 23 votes.
Kansas?
Fun fact, Kansas has more votes than LSU.
Which is funny because Les Miles technically coached at both of them before he got fired at Kansas. What did he get fired at Kansas What did he got fired at Kansas with cause because he was only there for like a year. It was something to do. I think he hired strippers or something. The controversy was he was placed on administrative leave when due to an investigation of inappropriate conduct with female students at LSU.
A July 2021 article alleged that when a football player got like harassed by a couple of his teammates, they paid the player to leave campus and take classes online out of state. Then Miles suggested the player settle my voice. Settle their dispute on the practice field, pitting them against each other head on in full contact
rules. Okay, let's be honest. There are worse ways of settling things. I think the main problem was he had, like, assaulted somebody or something. I'm not quite sure.
So, I think the reason that he kind of got let go at Kansas had to do with the inappropriate conduct while he was at LSU.
That's what I'm saying. Like that has a lot more to do with it than anything else. But the rest of it ain't great. Anyway, that's the top 25. Let's look at the pick'em for the week, and then let's sign off for the episode, and then we'll get into some actual video games. So for the pick'em, we've got Baylor and Iowa State. I think that's an obvious pick. Grant, what do you?
Yep, I've got Baylor there. I don't think Baylor's looking particularly great, but...
I can't see Iowa State just coming out and, like, killing it. I'd be happy if they did.
Yep. If we want to talk about another easy pick, we got Clemson-Wake Forest. I've got Clemson there.
Yep.
For Shizzle.
And then...
Which I actually went over this on our last stream. I was like, you know, I'm just going to go pick these in, like, 10 seconds.
Right.
Next game, we've got Kansas and Duke. I think that's probably another easy one.
I'm going with Duke there. I don't know much about Duke this year, but I know Kansas tends to just eat it at some point. And so I don't think it's going to be much.
I've got Kansas. To be honest, I don't think I've watched a single down football from either team. But
I mean,
when it's 85-15... I'm pretty confident going with what everyone's picking.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm going to go with. I don't know anything. This next game, Tennessee, Florida, this is 80-20. There's a 0% chance I pick Florida to win this game after what we've seen in the past couple weeks and what I saw in person in Knoxville. There's no way I'm picking again.
So
we've got Minnesota, Michigan State.
Yep. I have Michigan State, but.
I have Minnesota. Again, I don't think I've watched a down football of either of these teams this year, but I don't know that I trust Michigan State.
Okay. I don't think Minnesota beats them, but okay. Then we have the Fighting Irish versus the Tar Heels. This is an obvious pick because Notre Dame looks like trash this year.
Mm-hmm.
You're trash, kid.
I think, yeah, I mean, they've got, I mean, Marcus Freeman was their defense coordinator, but still a new head coach for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll come along eventually. Maybe not this year because it's not looking great, but the players really seem to like him when he got named the head coach. There's a lot to like in terms of that, but there's not been a whole lot to like watching him play football.
Right. Then we have Oregon, Washington State.
I've got Oregon.
I've got Oregon. From there, we have A&M, Arkansas.
I've got Arkansas.
Yep.
I think Arkansas is just the better team. They're similar. They're both good defensive teams, not as high-powered offense, but Arkansas by far has the better offense. They can run the ball. KJ Jefferson, don't be mistaken, KJ Jefferson can throw the ball. He just doesn't have to a ton. And when they get in the red zone, they run with them anyways.
Then we have the future national champions versus Oklahoma.
What, you mean Oklahoma's not playing themselves?
No, Oklahoma is playing a team that lost a close game to a very good team this past week. I think Kansas State pulls it off against Oklahoma. I do, Grant, you're picking the
Yeah, I'll be honest. After the loss to Tulane, as much as I would like to be able to pick Kansas State, I just can't bring myself to do it. I'm sorry.
I get it.
Don't get me wrong. I'd be happy for you if y'all managed to pull this off, and that'd be a great comeback. But
I was in the position where I couldn't see myself pulling against my team.
That's fair. I mean, I completely respect that. Like, I would never pick against Alabama, but
even if they're playing Georgia,
I would still pick Alabama very reluctantly. But I just can't. As much as I would like to, I just can't pick them in this game.
And then finally, we have Oklahoma West at Oregon State.
Oklahoma's playing twice this week. That's crazy.
They are. It's crazy.
I've got USC.
I do too. I don't think that's much of a thought. I don't think Lincoln Riley's going to have any trouble. I think that just about wraps up for the day, don't you?
Yep, and then we won't go into our tiebreaker, but I will say the tiebreaker is how many total points would be scored in Clemson versus Wake Forest?
Yep. We've been talking for over an hour. Those of you who are watching on Twitch, thank you for joining us, and stay on the line. We're going to be streaming some video games here in a minute. But those of you listening or watching at home, not live when we're post-mortem dead after Skillin shaved and hit the bucket. Thank you so much. Please subscribe.
I'm always going to come first, shaving here or shaving here with this forehead.
Hey, joining me today is Peyton Manning. Anyway. Thank you so much. Subscribe. Leave a review if you like us. Send us an email at muchtalkaboutnothing@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at muchtalkaboutnothing. Follow us on Twitter at MTAN Podcast. We would love to see you there. Love to interact with you. We have a Discord. The link to that is in our description below. And we're not selling you anything this week. We're just hanging out. And that's the way it's going to be for the foreseeable future right now. We'll let you know if that changes. Until next time, have a good week and email. And those of you watching.